All right, praise God. Over the past weeks, church, we've been hearing about what God wants to accomplish to us in 2022. On the 9th of January, we learned about pride, which is kind of the soul, and something that cannot be ignored, should not be ignored. And we also heard about the purpose and power of decrees, and in 2022 we're going to practice that a lot more, because I believe, as talking to Pastor Joy in the weekend, we're having discussions, and I believe with all my heart that God wants his people to begin to move in power, to begin to move according to what he has said and what his decree, he has already decreed that we should move. So we're going to practice what we've been learning. No point just learning things and then just not practicing it at all. Last week, we spoke about the heart. And I asked the question, how's your heart? Very important questions. And as I said earlier today, we've just completed in the month of January 3 weeks of 3-day fast. And today, what we're going to look at, a story of one person in particular, but the story we're going to look at is going to bring out all of these points and more. Well, actually, we're going to see how God can use one person who was a nobody, had no significance at all. The person was actually an orphan, and we're going to see how God actually used that person to accomplish great things. So we're going to see that pride was not present in her life. Pride was present in some of the characters that we're going to look at today around this story in the life of, and we're going to see what happens when pride is not dealt with. You know, we're going to see the power of decrees in this one story, and we're going to see how important decrees were and how effective and how they bring about results, good or bad, when once they are made from the source of authority. We're also going to see in this story the conditions of people's heart, from the king to another character. We're going to see the conditions of their heart, and the way they behaved sprang from the conditions of their heart. And the person that we're going to look at today is Esther. So, if you have your Bibles, I'm going to tell you from now, go to the book of Esther. And while you're going there, I'm going to give you a little bit of background. And I'm also going to talk to you a little bit about, some of the characters that's there. So, let's start with the background, shall we? The king mentioned in the book of Esther is King Ahasuerus. And I put there on the PowerPoint Xerxes in brackets, because and I might refer to that name, it's easier for me to say. That was another name that was given to him. So some of us might recognize the name Xerxes, which is not to be confused with Artaxerxes. That's also mentioned in history. Xerxes was the king of the Medes and the Persians. He ruled over 127 provinces. Like the queen is the queen of the Commonwealth, and before Jamaica became independent, let's use that as an example. Jamaica was a territory of the queen, so that was just one of her territories. Okay. That she ruled over. Obviously, Jamaica is independent now, so she doesn't have the exact powers that she had before Jamaica became independent. Well, King Xerxes, who ruled over Persia and the Medes, had 127 provinces. Now, one day, he decided that what he's going to do, he's going to hold... he decided that he's going to hold... I don't know what to call it. A period of time where he would show off everything that he had. And if you read the Bible, that's what it says. 180 days of showing off all his wealth, his possessions, his majesty, his power. He spent a half a year just doing that. You know, after he finished doing that, in verse 5, it said that, of chapter 1, it said that he held a feast. And that feast was held for 7 days. Now, he held the feast for 7 days and he invited all the nobles, he invited all the common people, he invited just about everybody to come and to drink, and he made a law, and it's mentioned in the Bible that anybody can drink as much as they want, have as much as they want. It was a bit extravagant, I would say. I think that's mild saying it was a bit extravagant. It was a lot. It's quite extravagant. Anyway, he held his feast for 7 days. Near the end of the 7 days, he said to his eunuchs, I think he spoke to 7 of them, and said, go get Queen Vashti and tell her to put you on a royal crown and come bring her before me. I want to show her off to the people. Because Vashti was a very beautiful queen. And he wanted to show her off. He spent 180 days showing off everything that he had. So he wanted to do that before the people with Queen Vashti. The Queen Vashti refused. Well, she was brave. She refused to do that. She said, no, I'm not going to come. For whatever reason, we don't know. The Bible didn't tell us. But she refused to go to the king. When the king heard it, he was furious and he sought for his advisors. And his advisors came to him and said to him, the wise men and the advisors and the eunuchs, came to him and said, oh king, this cannot be permitted. Because the king was asking advice, what should I do with Queen Vashti? She won't come. She won't follow my command. And they said to him, oh king, this cannot be permitted. She can't get away with it, in other words. Because if she gets away with it, then all the women in the kingdom will think that they can disobey their husbands and get away with it. So she'll be setting a negative royal precedent for all the women in the place. And the king said, the word is true. So the king said, well, what should I do? So the eunuchs and the advisors and the wise men, the king's wise men, said to him, make a decree that Queen Vashti will no longer be queen. But instead, send throughout all your provinces, all of your kingdom, and gather all the young pretty virgins and let them come to the king's palace and let them spend time in front of the king, and then king, you choose who should be made queen in the fullness of time. So that's what they did. A decree, come on, say it with me, decree. A decree was made throughout the land, and the king signed it with his signet ring, and he sent it to all the governors of the provinces, that all of the virgins should come up to the king's palace. And so this happened over a course of time. And they came to the king's palace. And when they came, all the virgins were looked after, and different things happened. They spent a period of actually 6 months. The women spent a period of 6 months in a section of the palace that was only for the women. And they were given people to look after them. And there was one man who was in charge of all of these virgins that should come up. 6 months they spent getting the oil of myrrh and giving it to these women so that they could put it on their skin. 6 months. Then another 6 months was spent giving perfume and beautification. Whatever that is, I think that's makeup. Yeah, I think that's makeup, isn't it? Sounds like it to me. Perfume, another 6 months giving perfume and beautification of substance for the women. And so that's what happened. So 1 year these women were sent and prepared for the king to come and to look at them and to choose who should become queen. Wow. So let me go to the next screen. Esther was actually one of these women. Now, Esther had I'm going to say cousin. Right? When you read some commentators, they say Mordecai was Esther's uncle, but actually, it's Mordecai's uncle's daughter, which makes them, in my eyes, two first cousins. Now, if you read something different, come and show me. But twice it's mentioned in one chapter, chapter 2, that Mordecai looked after Esther, and Esther was Mordecai's uncle's daughter. Both Esther's father and mother had died, so she was an orphan. So Mordecai took her under his wings, raised her, grew her. And let me point out from now, one of the things that is beautiful about this story is the relationship between Mordecai and Esther. Esther respected him. He was a man who looked after her. He was a man who provided for her. He was a man who protected her. He was a man who, raised her up with the values that she had. And so it was great respect for her, for him, from Esther. And also, Mordecai loved her as well, obviously. He raised her, the Bible says, as his own. So he loved her, with a beautiful love. She was also young. She was beautiful. And the Bible says that when she was brought up into the king's palace with all these other women, almost immediately she found favor with the guy who was in charge of all the virgins that were coming up. And his name was Haggai. Okay? He saw her and, he gave her favor. He liked her. He loved her. He gave her favor. So the Bible says that he did three things. He gave her more perfume and more oil than all the other women. He gave her more servants than all the other women that were tend to her, her personal maid servants. And he also moved her from where the women were and placed her in a special quarters where she had, maybe a better room. Let's just put it that way. Come on, somebody shout favor. And that's what was happening right here. She got favor. So we see already things coming up. But I'm going to show you, I'm going to talk to you with this story, and I'm going to bring out five different points from this story. This is just a little bit of background. As I said, there she received extra beautification for preparations and oils. And I've put it on the screen. I forgot that I put it up there because I was just relaying it from my memory. But that's okay. So five different points we want to see now as we go into the story of what happened to Esther. Why was she placed there? What did God have a purpose for her? This purpose was not yet seen, but what would happen? A series of events would happen. Some of it bad, some of it good, but all together working for her good and the purposes of God working out, not just for Esther, but for his people. And we will see that in a moment. So, number one, as I said, five different points I want to raise today. And point number one is that Esther was honorable. Can you say honorable with me? Honorable. Say it again. Honorable. She was honorable. She honored the king. She honored Mordecai. And even when she became queen, she didn't get all sort of, full of pride and, full of herself, if you like. She remained humble. And, God was with her. And we'll see that as we go through the story, that God was with Esther. She was honorable. What I'm going to do with these 5 points is I'm going to give you some scriptures to show the importance of honorable. You cannot be honorable unless you have humility in your life. Proverbs 22 and verse 4 says, By humility, and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. With these things, by humility and the fear of the Lord, are honor, riches, and life. So honor, riches, and life come by humility being in place. And we've dealt with this over the past weeks. We know what humility is. It's lowering yourself, placing yourself lower than than you otherwise would. It's placing your mission under the mission of another. And that is a requirement of God for his people. We have to humble ourselves, and then honor will come our way. Proverbs 21, verse 21, he who follows righteousness and mercy finds life, righteousness, and honor. He who follows righteousness and mercy, you find life, you find righteousness, and you also find honor. And by the way, honor is to highly esteem, to place a high value upon. So when you honor someone or you honor something, you're placing a high value on them. You don't look at them, you don't look at the thing and treat it anyhow. You don't look at the person and treat them and talk about them anyhow, because you honor them. You highly value them. Okay? Point number two. Esther was well favored. Come on, say well favored. She was well favored. How do we know that? Well, we see it throughout this story here, and I'll put some points on the screen. From Haggai, the guy who was in charge of all of the virgins that came up from the provinces into the king's palace, we see it from her in chapter 2, verse 9, from him in chapter 2, verse 9. We see that she was also favored from, the Bible says, all who saw her. All who saw her. She favor came by people that didn't even know her. People, the king, King Xerxes, also in verse 17 of chapter 2, says that as he favored her. When he saw her, he liked her. And as a matter of fact, it's almost immediately he made her queen. Favor was upon Esther because God was with Esther. And we see favor from God throughout the story on Esther's life, and we see some of the things, we're going to see some of the things that she did as a result of what was happening. Because nothing is ever smooth sailing. It may seem like everything is smooth at this point for Esther. I've come to the king's palace. Wow, out of all these women, he's chosen me to be queen. Wow, beautiful. But that wasn't the end of everything. It was no smooth sailing. She was made queen, and the king made a feast for her. So we see the beginnings of favor, but this is not exhaustive. This is not the end. As we go through the book of Esther, you'll see more favors coming her way, and we might refer to some of them as I go through. Now, the Bible, let's have a look at what the Bible has to say pertaining to favor. Proverbs 3, verse 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart. And so, find favor. Come on, somebody shout favor. And high esteem in the sight of God. So what have you got to do to find favor and high esteem in the sight of God? Well, you've got to let not mercy and truth forsake you. You've got to be a merciful person. If you're a person that's after revenge, you're not a merciful person. And you will not find favor in the eyes of God. Because that's not what the scripture says. And so we've got to then learn to forgive. Learn to let go. Learn to, the hurts and the pains that people have done you, let it go. So that we do not become our own stumbling block to God's blessing in our life. Let not mercy, and we've got to grasp and get a hold of truth. No matter what, sometimes people don't like to hear the truth. But you've got to be a person that says, you know, no matter what, I am always going to speak the truth. It's one of the things I said to the Lord with this ministry. I said, Father, no, I will never ever give counsel to any person to gain favor. I will never stand before God's people and tell them something that the Word of God doesn't say just to please me or to please them. I will never do that. Because my position is, I'm going to be a person who pleases God. How many people know you can't please all the people all the time? You can't. And so a better position to be in is to be truthful and honest to God and be right before Him than trying to please people, because you'll end up all over the place and end up not pleasing God. And so when we make a decision to do that, we will find favor. This is the Word of God saying that. You will find favor and high esteem, not just in the presence of God, but also in the presence of man. Proverbs 13:15. Good understanding gains favor, but the way of the unfaithful is hard. That's why the Bible says again in Proverbs 4, wisdom is a principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And in all of your getting, get what? Get understanding. Get understanding. A comprehension of knowing how knowledge and events relate. Okay? Get understanding. A good understanding gains favor. Point number three. Esther was trustworthy. She was trustworthy. She was someone who could be trusted. Let's have a look at some of the evidence. Mordecai told Esther, Esther, you're in the king's palace now. You are queen now. But do not Let the king know about your people. Don't let the king know that you are a Jew. Don't let them know. Don't let him know. Right? So, she kept Mordecai's secret. As a matter of fact, when it came out, Mordecai is the one who brought it out. But she kept. Why? Because she was trustworthy. Mordecai, the person who had raised her, she trusted and she loved. And he said something. And even though she was queen and she could have now overruled him, she could have now said, no, I'm queen, I'm going to go to my husband, the king, and tell him. She said, no, I'm going to listen to Mordecai, the man that I know, the man that I respect, the man that has raised me. And if he says that, that's what I'm going to do. So she kept Mordecai's secret. And she kept it at the cost, the possible cost of losing her own life, for not revealing who she was to the king. So even though her life was at stake, she still decided, no, I trust Mordecai, and I'm going to do what he says. I'm going to honor him, I'm going to respect him. But, and she proved herself to be trustworthy. Now, Mordecai sat at the king's gate, the Bible says, day after day after day after day. The king had made a decree. Here's another decree. And the decree that he made was that nobody is allowed to come into the inner court of the king without the king requesting them to come. And anybody who did that, they would be killed. They would be executed. They would be just, their life would be gone. He would have them killed. And the only exception to that law, the king said in his decree, is that if anybody comes into the inner court and I didn't ask them to come, they will be killed, except for the fact that I held out the golden scepter. If I hold out the golden scepter to that person's life will be saved. And that's what happened. Now one day, Mordecai was outside the king's gates. And he was there every single day. Every single day. And Mordecai overheard two of the king's eunuchs plotting to kill him. And Mordecai heard it and told it to Queen Esther. Got message to Queen Esther. Queen Esther told the king. And then the king, the Bible says, investigated the matter, found it to be true, and killed these two men. Very important for where we're going. And killed these two men. And the Esther told the king that it was Mordecai, the guy who raised her up, that found out about the plot. Now, I'm going to pause here a little bit, and we're talking about trustworthy, but I'm going to come back to this point in the story. We're going somewhere with this, church. And I just want to give you some scriptures here, because I'm saying to you that Esther was a trustworthy person, and we've got to be trustworthy people. Can I get an amen? Can I get a loud amen? We've got to be trustworthy. We've one another and also with God. We've got to do that. You've got to be a trustworthy person in your workplace. Otherwise, your boss won't have confidence in you. You know, your workers, if you're a manager, have to be trustworthy people. Otherwise, you won't have confidence in them. All right. So let's look at some scriptures from this. Sorry. Jeremiah 27. That is. No, it's not. It's Jeremiah 17 and verse 7. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. So we have got to have our hope. And what is hope? Expect today. We've got to have it in the Lord. We've got to trust in the Lord. Not in man, but in the Lord. Psalmist said in Psalm 56 and verse 3, when I'm afraid, what is he going to do? I will trust you. How many people sometimes are afraid of some situations that you're in, whether it's work or personal? Sometimes we face situations and the spirit of fear shows up. The psalmist here says, when I'm afraid, what I'm going to do in that moment is I'm going to trust in you, Lord. And that's going to be our response. Can I get an amen? It's going to be our response, man. Whatever situation you find yourself in, church, know that God is with you and never leave you nor forsake you. Know that God will be with you through what you are going through. Never think that you are on your own, because you're not. Psalm 14 and verse 4, blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn to lies. Psalm 27 verse 5, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. I believe with all my heart, that's what Esther was doing. Esther was not trusting in just Mordecai, but she was trusting in God, the God that she served. And we're going to see why I say that in just a moment. Point number four, Esther cared. Come on, shout cared. Yeah. All right, so she cared. She did, she cared. When we look at chapter 4 and verses 5 to 7, she heard Mordecai's concern. And then when she heard the concern, because what had happened, let me tell you what happened first. The king, Haman has now come into the picture, okay? And the king had promoted, we do not know why, but the king had promoted Haman, and he gave him such authority that people saw him and had to kind of bow, pay homage to him, etc., etc. Haman decided that he wasn't going to do that at all. And Mordecai decided he wasn't going to pay homage to Haman, but he was still sitting at the king's gate. And when Haman would pass by, the eunuchs, two eunuchs said to him, why are you not paying homage to Haman? Don't you hear the king's decree? Don't you hear what the king has ordered? That every time you see him and he walks by, you have to sort of bow and sort of step back and, you know, just show honor, show respect. Mordecai did none of that. And this continued for some time. And Haman grew really, really angry. And Haman decided that what he's going to do, he's not going to deal with him personally. But what he's going to do, he's going to go to, he went to his wife, and he went to his own counselors. And he said, he complained to his wife and to his own wise men, because that's what the Bible calls them, his wise men. I said, what should I do with this Haman? What should I do? Because every time he sees me, he doesn't do anything. He doesn't pay me homage, and he gets me really, really angry. And then they advised him, get the king to write a decree that Haman and all of his people, i.e. the Jews, because they told him, Haman told them that he was a Jew, get the king to write a decree to wipe off. You see how far this is going back? You think it's starting in Hitler? It's in your Bible. Get a decree, get him to write a decree to wipe out the Jews. God's people. And Haman, don't just do it to Haman, but wipe out the whole race that Haman belongs to. Because there were different types. Mordecai belongs to, sorry. Because there were different races of people in the king's provinces. And so Haman went to the king. The king was very sloppy, in my opinion. Very careless. He didn't even inquire as to which race of people this was. And when you read the Bible, it says that the king said to Haman, he gave him his signet ring. And it says, write as you will to destroy whoever you want to destroy. Let it be done as your words have said. Wow. We don't even know who he's going to destroy. And so Haman did that. And now, what happens now in the 13th day of the first month of Nisan, right? They began to put the decree together. And the decree will become effective on the 13th day of the 12th month. And I'm specifying that now, the month of Adar. That's 12 months that Haman spent putting this thing together. And this thing that was put together was a decree that was written, signed by the king's signet ring, written several times, copied several times, and sent out via letters to the different provinces. So that wherever the Jews are, they would be killed. So news went out. Mordecai heard the news. Mordecai ripped his clothes in the king's gate. Not the court, the gate, where he was every day. And he wouldn't eat food. And he began to, the Bible says, cry with a loud voice. And when he cried with a loud voice, People were concerned, and news came to Esther from one of the eunuchs saying that Mordecai is crying out with a loud voice, and she sent and inquired why, what's happened. And then Mordecai told the eunuchs what had happened about the decree for the Jews to be killed, that Mordecai and his people are to be killed. And he told the eunuchs that, the eunuchs told Esther, and then Esther did something. Esther didn't panic. Esther didn't, sometimes when we get bad news, we sort of panic and we come up with our own solutions. Esther didn't do that. Esther sent out a message. And she sent out a message saying, get all of the people to fast and to pray for 3 days. How many days?
3 days.
3 days fast, day and night. Don't eat or drink anything for 3 days. Me and my maids will also fast for 3 days and three nights. But it's interesting when you read the Bible, because when she sent that out in verse 16, when you look at verse 3, you see that the people had already received the news about what was going to happen. It hadn't happened yet, but it was going to happen, and news spread fast. All right, that they're going to be wiped out, they're going to be killed. And they began to cry out, and then Bible says in verse 3 that that some of them fasted. So before Esther called a 3-day fast, some of the Jews, God's people, said, no, we're going to fast and we're going to pray. And so they began to fast and pray before this order to fast and pray went out. How many of you know that sometimes, folks, God will be stirring you up, or sometimes there is a circumstance or something that you're facing? Then you're going to fast and you're going to pray. You don't wait for the church, you don't wait for the pastors or leaders or elders to call a fast, you fast. And the only time we fast is when the church calls a fast. God help us. And God help us even more if the church calls a fast and you don't partake in it. I won't even go any further with that. Be very careful. She called a fast. She told her maids that they're going to fast for 3 days. And you know what else she did? She went and she said, you know what I'm going to do? I care about the Jews so much, because we're talking about how Esther cared. She went into the presence of the king without the king requesting her there. Now, don't think that just because the queen is the king's wife that she could do any harm. No, because that law, that decree, applied to her as well. And she could have been killed. The king could have said, I didn't send for you. As a matter of fact, when you read the scriptures, he said, for the past 30 days, the king has not even requested my presence. She's not seen her husband for the past 30 days. Now she decided that I'm going to go and I'm going to see the king. So she picked up herself and went to see the king. And the king, thankfully, held out the golden scepter. Which means that, no, I didn't request her to come. She's coming, but I'm holding out the golden scepter, so her life is spared. She can live. And so she went and told the king what had happened. I'm going to pause right there. And I'm saying that Esther cared. 5 things I'm pointing out. 5 major things she pointed out. And I'm reading scriptures for. The Bible says this in Galatians 6 verse 1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in the fault, you are spiritual, restore such a one with the spirit of meekness, considering yourself lest you also be tempted. And that's so important. Take your eyes off of yourself, look on your brothers and your sisters. If somebody is in a fault, okay, you who are spiritual, you who are strong, you who are able, you are able to give wise counsel, you who are able to correct the matter with strong rebuke, but also with love and compassion, okay? You restore such a person with the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Philippians 2 verse 19 says, but I trust in the Lord Jesus. This is Paul now, because he cared for people. He said this, but I trust in the Lord to send to you Timothy. I'm sending to you my own convert that I raised, that I grew, that I trained. To go to you shortly, that I may also be encouraged when I know your state. And in verse 20, he says, for I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. So Paul was saying, hey, the best person that I've got around me that I can send right now, that I know that cares for you, and I'm sending him to so that he can be with you, help you, encourage you, care for you. This is the best person that I've got that I can send right now, and it's Timothy. Alright? And when I know that I send him, I'm sending him with confidence because I know that he sincerely cares for you. 1 Peter 5 verse 7. So this is other people now caring for one another, you know, and Paul caring for the people, so he sent Timothy. But we've also got to realize that God cares for us. 1 Peter 5, 7, and casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Come on, say with me, God cares for me. He knows what you're going through. He sees everything. And more than that, he cares. Psalm 27, verse 10. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. That's exactly what was happening in Esther's situation. Her mother and father died. They didn't forsake her, but they died. But the Lord took care of her through Mordecai. And so God knows, church, how to take care of you. No matter who you are, no matter what your circumstance, no matter where you're coming from, no matter what you're going through, God knows how to take care of you. He wants you, though, to trust him. And then point number 5, Esther's victory. Esther's victory. And I like talking about this part now because what Esther did was she went before the king, and then Esther said, oh king, which you know what was happening, what Haman was planning to do. Again, Haman sought counsel from his wife and from also his wise men and said, what should I do with this Haman? And part of the counsel that came from them, his wife and his wise men, to him was build a gallows 50 cubits tall. Build a gallows. Build it right here in your yard, in front of your house. Build it 50 meters tall. And then hang Haman on it. So, Mordecai. Yeah, sorry. Haman, build this. And then build it to hang Mordecai on it. So, he built the gallows. 50 cubits tall, the Bible says. And then she requested, when she heard of what was happening, as I said, she requested an audience with the king. When she went before the king, the king said, what do you want me to do for you, Esther? Anything up to half of the kingdom I will give to you. So Esther could have stopped right there and said, you know what, Lord? That sounds good. Can I have 6 houses, 2 cars, an airplane, and a motorbike? No, she didn't do that. She said, I want an audience. I want to hold a party. That's what I want to do. I want to hold a party, but only 2 people are invited to come, king. You and Haman. So she did that. And the king said, fine. And day one, they came, they met. And that was fine. And Haman was all chuffed now, full of pride, and saying, oh, went home and said, Queen Esther is holding a banquet, and she only requests the king and I to attend. How important I must be. And you know, he went on all boastful, and we're looking forward to the next day. And then the next day when he came, the king said, I'm cutting some of the story short because I'm going on quite a bit, and I want to get to the point, but this is so important though, and I'm going to read something in a minute. She timed her audience well with the king and with Haman, and it's a funny thing because that night after day one, before day two, the king couldn't sleep. It's funny how, you know, the king with everything that he has, he just couldn't sleep for some reason. And I believe it was the Spirit of the Lord troubling him. I believe that's what it was. And so he couldn't sleep. He woke up, he called for his servants or his people attending to him and said, get the chronicles. And read the chronicles to me. He said, actually, was anything done for Mordecai who found out about the plot for these two eunuchs to kill me? And they said, oh king, nothing's been done. So when they read the thing the Chronicles had the story written, because that's the way they did it back then. They wrote it in the Chronicles of the Records about the plot that of these two eunuchs named in the Bible that wanted to kill the king. So when he read that and also inquired, and they said nothing was done for him, no reward, no gift, no nothing was done for Mordecai for finding out that, the king said, no. What? Something has to be done. What's going to be done? What should we do? And then he said, as a matter of fact, who's that? Who's that in the king's court, in the king's outer court? And then they said, oh, that's Haman. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to read from chapter 6, verse 6, because I want you to get the fullness of this. I'm going to read from verse 6 downward. So Haman came in, and the king asked him, now remember now, the king was talking about what should be done for Mordecai, but listen, the king asked him, what should be done for the man whom the king delights to honor? Now Haman thought that was him. Now Haman thought in his heart, whom would the king like to honor more than me? Verse 7, and Haman answered the king, for the man whom the king delights to honor, this is what Haman said should be done, let a royal robe be placed, be brought, which the king has worn, and a horse on which the king has ridden, which has a royal crest placed on its head. Then let this robe and horse be delivered to the hand of the one of the king's most noble princes, that he may array the man in whom the king delights to honor. Then parade him on horseback throughout the city square and proclaim before him, thus it shall be done to the man whom the king delights to honor. Then the king said to Haman, hurry, take your robe and the horse as take the robe and the horse as you have suggested, and do so for Mordecai, the Jew who sits within the king's gate. Leave nothing undone of all that you, Haman, have spoken. So Haman took the robe and the horse, arrayed Mordecai, and led him on horseback. Can you imagine his face? And throughout the city square, all the people looking and proclaimed before him, thus it shall be done. No, he proclaimed it, so he had to do it loud. Thus it shall be done, even though he didn't want to do it, to the man whom the king delights to honor. Afterward, Mordecai went back to the king's gate, but Haman hurried to his house, mourning, and with his head covered. When Haman told his wife Zeresh and all his friends everything that had happened to him, his wife, wise men, and his wife Zeresh said to him, if Mordecai, before whom you have begun to fall, is of Jewish descent, you will not prevail against him, but will surely fall before him. Wow. The same people who said, look at us 50 high, 50 cubits high, and hang him on it, are the same people, his wife and his friends of his, are the same people who are now saying that, hey, you're dead, basically. You're dead. While they were still talking with him, the king's eunuchs came and hastened to bring Haman to the banquet which Esther had prepared. Because this was day two now. So, we see that Esther planned everything well. Because that night, as I said, the king couldn't sleep. He got up and said, what should be done for him? Nothing was done. So this is what he did. And Mordecai, Haman was the one who had to do this for Mordecai, much to his displeasure. And then the next morning, the eunuchs came to bring Haman before Esther to gather with him and the king as she requested. And then the king again said to her on day two, what shall be done for you, Esther? You've called this banquet and invited me and Haman, one of my chief men, if you like, you know, one of my chief nobles. What shall be done for you? Up to half the kingdom, he repeated himself. He said, up to half the kingdom you can have if you want it. And then she said something else. The king asked, what do you want to do? So from chapter 7, verse 3, the queen Esther answered and said, if I have found favor in your sight, O king, and if it pleases the king, let my life be given me at my petition, and my people at my request. For we have been sold, my people and I, to be destroyed, to be killed, and to be annihilated. Had we been sold as male and female slaves, I would have held my tongue, although the enemy could never compensate for the king's loss. So the king answered and said, Queen Esther, who is he? And where is he who would dare to presume in his heart to do such a thing? And Esther said, the adversary and enemy is this wicked Haman. So Haman was terrified before the king and the queen. And the king rose in his wrath from the banquet of the wine and went to the palace garden. But Haman stood before the queen, Queen Esther, pleading for his life. For he saw that evil was determined against him by the king. When the king returned from the palace garden to the place of the banquet of wine, Haman had fallen across the couch where Esther was. Then the king said, will he also assault the queen while I am in this house? And as the word left the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. Now Habona, one of the eunuchs, said to the king, look, the gallows, 50 cubits high, which Haman made for Mordecai, who spoke good on the king's behalf, is standing at the house of Haman. Then the king said, hang him on it. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then the king's wrath was subsided. My goodness, what an end, eh? What I want to point out here is that Esther had victory, but the victory didn't come immediately. It came through a process of things. And when everything seemed like it was going to go bad for Esther and her people, God turned it around. And how many people know? Church, God is in the same business today of turning things around. You ought to be a little bit more excited than that. God is a God of a turnaround, man. No matter how bad it looks and how bad it seems and how difficult it is, God is able to turn it around. I'm talking about your circumstances here. This is not some fictitious story, by the way. This is real life happenings. And the same God who cared for Esther all those years ago, guess what? It's the same God we serve today. He cared for Esther back then. Church, he cares for you today. I'm telling you, God is able. You've got to grasp it. God is able to turn it around. Whatever it is in your life that is bad, that is negative, that is a thorn in your side, God is able to turn it around. All right. Grasp that. Get it. God is able to turn it around. It may seem like it will never happen, but because it looks like it won't happen, doesn't mean it won't happen. God is able to turn it around. You're going to need your cooperation, though. You're going to have to do things his way. The king asks again, oh Lord, where am I now? Haman's house. Victory. So the gallows that this guy built to hang Mordecai on, he was the one who was hung on him. The people of the Jews that he wanted to annihilate. You know what happened? Let me just give you this because I don't think I have it here. Oh yes, I do actually. So let me just go by my notes. Go by the screen. Haman's house was given to Esther. What was God doing? Turning over the things from the ungodly to the godly. Do you hear that? The wealth of the sinner, right? Laying up for the righteous. Can I ask you something? Are you the righteousness of God?
Yes.
Don't sound confident. Are you the righteousness of God?
Yes.
God has things, people such as stuff. People, church, have your stuff. Yes. God has stuff lined up for you that you are going to walk in Jesus' name. Now you're going to know that you know in your knower that that is true. And with that you know that truth will just hit you like never before, and you'll walk with a confidence that man don't walk with, because man doesn't know God. Well, those that don't know him anyway. But those who know their God shall be strong and do great exploits. This is why it's so important in our period of fasting, man. It's a period of time when we just strip ourselves of ourselves and say, Lord, it's you. We're focused on you, Lord. Lord, we want more of you. Lord, your will, your way, not my will, not my way, but Lord, you. Yeah, people are doing stuff, and yeah, things are happening in this world, Lord. But we're not surprised about that, because, Lord, you said it, man will wax worse and worse. We see that happening, Lord God. We see that. We know that the end is of time is fulfilling. But, Lord, our eyes are upon you. You are our source, Lord. You're able to turn it around. That promotion has been held up, Lord. You are able to turn it around. That business venture, Father, you are able, oh God, to get it off the ground and to make it a good success in Jesus' name. We're God's child. We're God's children. And He loves you with an everlasting love. He loves you and cares about you. And it's good things laid up for you. Haman's house was given to Esther. A signet ring taken from Haman and given to who? Mordecai, the guy who raised Esther. Now he's got promoted. He's before the king's gate, not even allowed to go into the king's court or in the inner court. Before the king's gate, day after day, rain or shine, that's where he was. And he was there, not for himself, but because he cared about his, come and say, daughter that he raised. He raised her as his own. He cared about her. And he was there, day after day after day after day, saw this thing, told it to the eunuchs. Then she told it to the king, and then suddenly now things began to turn around. One little incident. One seemingly insignificant thing that has nothing to do with you. And yet God used that thing, that circumstance, to bring promotion into your life. I decree in Jesus' name, promotion is coming. Oh, Jesus, you guys are not excited, man. You don't believe it, man. I said, I decree in Jesus' name, promotion is coming. It's coming. It's coming. God wants to promote his people. Amen. See the ring taken from him and given to Mordecai. And then, here comes the important thing. A decree, another decree written. But this time, listen, a decree was rewritten in favor of the Jews. The decree that was written before was for the Jews to be annihilated and their possessions taken, plundered, the Bible said, actually. Now, the king said, no, now you, I'm giving you the signet ring, Mordecai. You write it as you will, and Mordecai wrote a decree. Anybody that rises up against the Jews, they will be annihilated. And their possessions will be taken. And then suddenly now the Jews, when they were looking and both saying, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? We're going to die. Not suddenly. Suddenly. Come on, somebody shout suddenly. God turned it around. And suddenly now the power was in their hands. And suddenly now confidence around. And suddenly now God showed up for them. And the same God that showed up for them back then will show up for you today. But you know what God is looking for? He's looking for. Listen, you can sit here and you can listen to this and you can. But you've got to get it in your spirit. God is looking for Esther today. He's looking for Esther today. I'm talking male and female, by the way. He's looking for people like Esther today to raise them up. Somebody that he can trust. Somebody who will stand no matter what and declare, thus saith the Lord. Somebody who will do the will of God without complaining, grumbling, mumbling. Somebody who he can depend on. They know that when they say they will be here, they will be here. When they say they will do, they will do. When they say they will go, they will go. God is looking for somebody that he can depend on to use them. Has he found them in here? Has God found anybody here that he can use? Church, has God found anybody here that he can use? Because he's looking for that today. I'm telling you. Men and women who are strong. Men and women who are not easily intimidated by authority or by people or by stuff or circumstances. But will stand up in the midst of it and put their trust in God and open their mouth and utter decrees in the name of Jesus. For the benefit of his kingdom. Man, I tell you. I don't think sometimes we realize the mighty God that we serve. We read these things and we think it's a story. And if we leave from here and we live an ordinary life, God doesn't want you to live an ordinary life. That's an insult to God. It's an insult to me. You live an ordinary life. What's wrong with that? When you read the Bible, you see people living ordinary life. Did Paul, after his conversion, live an ordinary life? No. Did Esther live an ordinary life? No, she was humble. She was quiet. Didn't have mother or father. She was an orphan. She was a nobody. Yet God used her. Used her to accomplish great things, not just for her, not just for Mordecai, but for the whole of her people. And God wants to use you, not just for you, not just for your family, but for this generation. Church, but will you show up? Will you show up though? I mean, will you show up, church? Hallelujah. We have Christians today that can't even show up. They can't show up for God, man. They can't. It's tedious, it's hard to even come to church, to make it to church on time. Because we're busy, because we're slack, because we're lackadaisical sometimes. We don't even see it because there's no honor where we should be. We should be honoring God and saying, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Lord, I delight myself to come to your house. Lord, I will serve you no matter what. That's what God is looking for. And we're going to shake ourselves and wake up. Because some of us are sleeping. We're in church, but we're sleeping. We're Christians, but we're sleeping. And it pains my heart that I love God. Can't show up to pray because you're busy. Jesus. Can't show up to serve God because you're too busy. Priorities all wrong. May God help us, man. God is looking for Esther. And I'm praying and I'm saying, Lord, raise them up. If it's two or three in this house, raise them up, Lord. Because I know that you'll use two or three to cause a mighty revival. To cause a mighty revival. A revival. But we're going to be hungry for God. We're going to be hungry to the point where we're even sacrificial of our personal things. It's not our will, it's not our agenda. It's about the Lord. Are you here in the church? I hope you really are. Because we can't just continue like that. Let me conclude. So Esther was honorable. She was well favored. She was trustworthy. She was caring. She was respectful. She was humble. There was no pride in her. And Haman could not say the same thing. He was full of pride. The king could not say the same thing. The king was full of pride. Esther was humble. She cared for others. Mordecai, the Jews. And she also cared for her husband, King Xerxes. All right, she was patient. The events in the book of Esther, 10 chapters, cover the period of 10 years. 10 years. 1 year alone was for the women to be prepared with the beautification. Another year again, for which I mentioned earlier, you know, from the 13th day of the first month, when the decree was written, until the 13th day of the 12th month that Haman had wrote for the Jews to be annihilated. So he set the decree on that day, and he said on the 13th of December, it's not December, but 13th of the 12th, that's when it's going to happen. But God stopped it. God reversed it. God turned it around in favor of his people. Don't be servant with God. Amen. She was patient. She had faith in God. She called a 3-day fast. Urgent times call for urgent measures, and we've already mentioned that in verse 3. The people had already begun to fast. Because they sense the urgency. May God cause us as a people to sense the urgency and to do something about it that's sacrificial to ourselves. And she was victorious. Question, which role will you take? Esther could have taken the role of being disrespectful, being disobedient, forgetting about Mordecai. Well, Mordecai, I'm now queen, you can't come on me anymore, you can't. She could have done that. She could have forgotten about her family. But she didn't. Which road will you take? Will you take the right road? Or will you take the wrong road? Will you go your way? I used this slide last week, I'm using it here this week. Or will you go God's way? Esther chose to do it God's way, church. And we've chosen, amen, to do it God's way as well. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
We've got to do that. Again, these verses I'm closing with these verses right here from last week. The way that we've chosen is going to be the right one. Proverbs 16:5, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Haman thought he was going down the right road. He wasn't. He was going down the way of death. But God turned things around. How many times am I going to say that, Lord? For his people, and he still does that today. Psalm 25, verse 9, the humble guides injustice, and the humble, he teaches his way. Psalm 27:11, last slide. Teach me your way, O Lord, and that should be our prayer. And lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Teach me your way, O Lord. I think that's a good sign to end on, really. Because that should be our heart's cry, Lord, not my will, but your will. Teach me your way, Lord. Teach me. You know, when I was preparing this song, I said, Lord, this is going to be kind of different. You know, it's going to be a little bit different, but Lord, it brings out such beauty. And it shows you, Lord, and how you care for your people. And God is in no hurry. Like I said, the course of events was over a period of 10 years, the whole book of Esther. God is in no hurry. He has his plan. Look at the life of Joseph. He was in no hurry from the time he gave him his dream until the manifestation of it. It was some nearly 30 years or just over 30 years. I can't quite remember. I've taught on this before. But I'm telling you that the God that we serve, folks, is the same delivering God. Who delivered yesterday, who delivered Esther, and the Jews, the same God who is able to deliver. What are you going through? Really, what are you going through? Well, hang on a minute. What are you doing while you are going through? Where's your heart? I asked you that question last week. Where's your heart? How's your heart? How is it? Where is it? Where is it, church? Where is it? And may God help us with the answers that we truly come up with, because you know what? The answers that come out of our mouth must be the realities of what's happening here, because God sees it anyway. Bow your heads in prayer for me, please. I just want to close in prayer.